authority in Iraq. And the Iraqi army, the new Iraqi army was set up by the occupation. A lot of the officer class are very corrupt. There are lots of what they call phantom soldiers in Iraq. And the salaries of these phantom soldiers, in fact, are pocketed by army officers. So I wasn't surprised that a lot of them fled the scene in Mosul and elsewhere. So there are a number of issues, and also there is the tension between the Kurdish leadership in Kurdistan and the central government over oil production and so forth. But this is really a major move by these terrorist organizations to create a very powerful stronghold in the Iraqi-Syrian border region.
Well, Brian Becker, I still want to dive a little bit deeper into this whole idea behind these terrorists. I mean, could it be that the plan has backfired so badly for the U.S. and the regional countries, and in particular Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey, that we're looking at what is happening right now? Because can we truly say that the U.S. and the regional countries have lost the gamble they took on Syria based on the elections that came out in Syria, putting Assad into power for another 7 years? And that shows that they have actually failed. And therefore, we're looking at these insurgents flowing into Iraq from Syria.
Yes, I think that's definitely true. I think the U.S. plan was a fantasy, as was the war in Iraq. It was based on a fantasy, based on a false bill of goods, as was the bombing, by the way, and the destruction of the independent government in Libya. You can have all sorts of reasons to oppose politically the economic, social, or political policies of Saddam Hussein in Iraq, or Gaddafi in Libya, or Assad in Syria. But the fact of the matter is, the United States government, as a matter of policy, decided to intervene directly in the case of Iraq to overthrow a sovereign government. And then they thought, they really believed, that they could disband the Iraqi army and that the Iraqi people would run out and put flowers at the end of their the barrels of their gun and treat the Americans as liberators, as if there's no history of Arab consciousness and anti-imperialism and anti-colonialism. And then they did not foresee the resistance, and the resistance grew and grew. And finally, the U.S. Withdrew because they could do nothing else. And instead of learning the lesson of Iraq, they immediately plunged into Syria, carrying out the same intended policy of regime change, not using boots on the ground, so to speak, not using American forces, but using proxy forces. And then, as was predicted, the gates of hell have opened in Iraq first. They've opened now in Libya, as you can see what Libya looks like after the destruction by NATO of that government. And you can see what happened in Syria. The difference in Syria is the Assad government held on. That surprised the United States. It frustrated the United States. Instead of, again, learning the lesson, instead of pulling back and retreating, the United States now is under pressure to, in fact, accelerate. Ambassador Ford, who just resigned from the U.S. ambassador to Damascus, is demanding that the Obama administration, and he has lots of friends in Congress here, demanding that they actually escalate more armed shipments to the Syrian rebels. And of course, those Syrian armed rebel forces will undoubtedly fall under the control of these same political and military forces. It's out of control.
Well,
the U.S. policy is a catastrophe. The only reason the American people aren't rising up about it is that they're not the ones doing the bleeding. They're not doing the suffering. All of the suffering caused by the catastrophic policies of the American imperial government in the Middle East are being endured by the people of the region. I mean, it's a great, great historical tragedy.
Yeah, but this tragedy, it could become more of a worry, and it has in some respects. And I'd like to get your idea on this, Brian Becker. The blowback, not only happening in Saudi Arabia, where Saudi Arabia itself, the intelligence there, uncovered an ISIL cell inside the kingdom who was working on activities to overthrow the kingdom and its obvious monarchy there, but also when it came to, for example, intelligence from the U.S., James Clapper months back saying that, you know what, some of these terrorists or al-Qaeda-affiliated groups are planning attacks on U.S. homeland. Let's not forget that Saudi Arabia went to Pakistan, recruited some of these terrorists from the North Waziristan region, the same region where U.S. drone attacks killed lots of people there. And they're gathering this and thinking, well, you know what, the U.S. homeland is going to be under threat. So right now, they're trying to go all out. Washington came out and gave, what, 24 Apache attack helicopters to Baghdad recently. And the Senate has said that their lawmakers are mulling a $1 billion aid to Iraq. So is it now damage control for example, the U.S.?
Yeah, it's exactly damage control. And, of course, there's always money to be made by weapons sales. So it's a form of subsidy by the Iraqi people with their already limited funds to subsidize American weapons manufacturers. And that's partly just saving face and playing catch-up. But in terms of the blowback issue, let's not forget the U.S. government invaded Iraq. I mean, invaded and mostly bombed Iraq in January 1991, that first Iraq war. At the same time, they put tens of thousands of U.S. troops in Saudi Arabia, which had never been occupied by Western military forces. There was blowback to that. I mean, the people who were, according to the U.S. intelligence services, on the planes that took down the World Trade Center and attacked the other installations like the Pentagon, 15 of the 19 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia. There were no Afghans on those planes. Whatever their religious orientation or political affiliation, it's quite clear that the people who were motivated to carry out these attacks on September 11th probably had as one of their main grievances the occupation of Saudi Arabia by Western forces. At each step, the United States policy has been so short-sighted. At each step, the United States figures we are the greatest military power, the greatest economic power in the world. We're the 700-pound gorilla. We can do whatever we want. We can sit wherever we want. The rest of the world will do its bidding. It's not like that anymore. It's not the good old days of complete, utter colonial rule. When you go in and occupy people's lands and put your troops there and bomb them, of course there's going to be blowback because it escalates the cycle of violence.
And this cycle of violence is very evident, Sami Ramadani, when we're looking at what is happening, for example, to Iraq. But tell us, is there a way to connect the dots when we look at, for example, the new U.S. foreign policy, as Barack Obama stated, and he talked about partners? You have the U.S. saying we're going to support Iraq militarily. They're going to send equipment, as I mentioned, $1 billion perhaps in military aid. Iran has also come out and said that we're going to support Iraq. Saudi Arabia has reached out to Iran. Is there a way to connect the dots, seeing if there's going to be a thaw between Iran and Saudi Arabia, that along with the U.S., they're going to fight these extremists or terrorists on the ground that the U.S. and Saudi Arabia actually formed, or is that not the case?
Obviously, the political situation is extremely complex in the region. Any thaw in relations between Iran and Saudi Arabia will help reduce tensions in the area. But really, I'm not so sure about the intentions of the United States, because the United States holds sway over many armed groups in Syria and Iraq, and it has close links with a number of political forces in Iraq, powerful political forces in Iraq. And I am not so sure that the United States will push or support a thaw between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Remember, part of U.S. policy depends on heightened tensions and problems between the various countries in the region. They have always lived off these tensions, differences, regional conflicts, regional rivalries, and the United States has found fertile ground in that sense. So, although, again, I repeat that a thaw between Iran and Saudi Arabia will help the region, I'm not so sure that the United States will be happy with such a thaw. The United States wants to pull all the strings. And at the moment, I don't think they are in the ascendancy. And also, the United States is quite involved in terms of the Ukraine, in terms of its conflict in the South China Sea with China, and so on and so forth. So, in a sense, what ISIS and these other terrorist organizations are doing, I think in the long term is helpful to the United States and its influence in the region. These terrorist organizations, remember, had close links. In fact, I was reading a report in the Independent newspaper today in London. I didn't know that the leader of ISIL, of this terrorist organization that has taken over Mosul, was for 5 years a prisoner of the U.S. occupation forces in the Boka camp in the south in Iraq. And remember, a number of prisoners who were also in Guantanamo were released, and some of them popped up in Libya and led some of the armed gangs in Libya. So some of these former U.S. Held prisoners seem to be popping up and becoming major military commanders of terrorist organizations. So I would not rule out the possibility that the United States would turn a blind eye to these terrorists. They are playing a very complex game. Some of it will rebound on them. They supported Bin Laden for many years, and that rebounded on them. So it's a complex picture, I'm afraid.
Yeah, indeed. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We didn't even talk about the prisoners that were released and what that means. Let me thank our guests from the Answer Coalition, Brian Becker, and also professor at the London Metropolitan University, Sami Ramadani, who spoke to us. Thanks so much for watching another edition of The Debate. From Mikavetah Way and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.